You are born, and your needs are basic and direct. You're hungry, you start crying, and there is your mother's breast, providing nourishment and comfort, and food is simple and sweet. And then you grow up and go to a restaurant with my parents. And food is complicated for the rest of your life. My parents have restaurant anxiety. They're not scared of restaurants. They like them very much. But from the moment the waiter takes our order and walks off with the menus, it's as though we're perched on the edge of the abyss. And we're just going to go tumbling into dark chaos. And my childhood was filled with apprehensive glances towards the swinging kitchen doors of countless Chinese restaurants. With, of course, the murmured play-by-play. Is that our soup? No, that's it. It's their soup. It doesn't look very hot. Did they order before us? They ordered before we got here. It's going slow tonight. I learned over time that if I ever had bad news to reveal or needed to ask for money, this was the time, because they were really only about 20% present. And if we got through the ordeal and the food came and the food was hot and everybody had a fork and the forks were clean and, you know, we ate and that anxiety could just sort of dissipate, then my mother was right there with the kicker. Ugh, I don't need to eat like that again. And that was really her genius, to create that little toxic subtext. You know, if I'm going to beat myself up, then it better be good food and service to make it worth my while. And, you know, those are some mixed messages that you could spend your entire life working through. And yes, I have. My relationship to food is a little bit tortured. It wasn't always the case. I mean, back in the old days, food and I had some good, clean fun. But I can remember being 4 years old and sitting in the back of my father's car, and we were running some errands, and he came out of a store with a pack of Hostess snowballs. And he opened it, and he gave it to me, and he said, "Save me one." And I had never seen these before. It was a game changer. You know, I just couldn't believe that something like that existed. And, you know, I don't think it was lost on me that they evoked my mother's breast. They had that pleasing dome shape, and they were soft and fluffy. But on top of that, you know, was that neon pink Las Vegas wow factor. And, I mean, they were clearly nature's perfect food. And it was a revelation. I was sitting there, and every bite was a blessing. And I am just grateful and present. And that experience lasted until I realized I had eaten both of them. And then there was a very difficult 40 minutes in the car as I tried to conjure up a Hostess snowball out of thin air with my wizard skills. You know, and then tried to think of a plausible explanation for the disappearance of the other one. And my father was very disappointed, probably more disappointed than he should have been. And I felt terrible. And that second Hostess snowball was like the apple from the tree of knowledge, you know. One bite and everything changed, and in rushed guilt and mixed messages and baggage that's been there ever since. Now, I don't have a problem with restaurants. My private little patch of hell is the potluck meal. And I know, you know, potlucks are supposed to be just that simple division of labor and an easy way for everybody to come together and socialize. But for me, a potluck dinner means that somewhere in the room, there is something delicious that's going to run out before I get to it. And it just pushes all my buttons about scarcity and that, you know, we're really in the jungle and you and I are just going to claw each other for the last deviled egg. And, you know, I would pitch up at these events, and I know I was supposed to socialize or, you know, clap for the unremarkable soccer season, but I'm just casing the joint. You know, I'm look. Where's the table? All right, where's the food? Where's the good food? Where's the meat? Okay, where's the line going to form? Where are the plates? What are my passing lanes? You know, and I don't want to be the obvious asshole who's first in line. I want to be seventh in line. Nobody sees the need of the seventh person. They just assume, lucky guy. He happened to be nearby when dinner started. But, you know, they don't know the sweat and the choreography and just the geometry that goes into it. So if you ever want to borrow money from me or tell me that you're going to marry my daughter and then the two of you have a summer job as mules for a drug cartel and then you're going to invest that nest egg in a jazz club, you know, tell me as they're peeling the cellophane off the casserole dishes because I'll give you my blessing. But don't try to talk to me once the line is moving because then I'm working, then it's three-dimensional chess. I mean, in the old days, I always had two plates. I mean, there was mine, so I was scouting for the adult food, and I had the plate for my son, just about the pickiest eater you could imagine. So I got to figure out, you know, where's the chicken with no sauce, and, you know, where's the macaroni with no peas, and where are the deviled eggs? You know, because the deviled eggs back then were like bitcoins. And, you know, if I fail and he gets all choochy and he's not happy with his meal, then my wife would look at me like all I cared about was filling my plate, which was absolutely true. But who wants to admit that? Okay, but eventually we aged out of the potluck circuit. And in the last few years, you know, I'm really trying to get a healthier relationship to food. I want to get back to the first snowball moment. I would like to come full circle and be in the back seat of the car. And I am trying this year for the first time in my life. I did a cleanse. In February, I started taking Tai Chi. And Tai Chi is awesome. It kicks my ass. But, you know, it's slow motion and it's so methodical. And I'm just sitting there thinking, okay, the right hand comes down and the left hand comes up and the left hand lowers and the right hand comes up. And it quiets the chatter in my mind. Last month, our teacher, Liu, told us she was going to have, you know, her annual demonstration at the Vets Hall. All of her advanced students were going to come and do different demonstrations. And we, the beginners, we should come and we should all bring something to eat because there would be a potluck afterwards. A Tai Chi potluck. I couldn't even get my mind around that. And then she said, and I have friends who run a Chinese restaurant in town and I'm going to have them make something really special. Something really special at the Tai Chi potluck. I was so fucked, you know, because that room was going to be full of far more graceful and fast people than me. And I was a mess thinking about it. I would lie awake at night trying to picture myself. How am I supposed to be at the Tai Chi potluck? And, you know, I would rehearse my behavior and then realize that's but not the point. You're supposed to be in the moment at a Tai Chi potluck, right? You know, or am I supposed to apply what little skills I have? The right hand takes the spoon to the pasta salad. The left hand grabs the cornbread, drops it on the plate. The left hand takes the deviled egg. The right hand puts the spoon back. You know, something. So I come to the event. I'm totally skittish. I put down my plate of cookies, check out the food table. I go and sit far away from it and watch the demonstration. And the demonstrations are awesome. They are just mesmerizing. And about 90 minutes in, my teacher, Liu, gets up to do a routine with, you know, two metal hooks. And she is just whirling around like a dervish. And then something catches the light. And it's not the hooks. It's the tin foil in the distance being lifted off one of the platters. And I'm like, just stay in your body. Just watch what's going on. And then something really surprising happened. The food smelled bad. You know, I got like this institutional whiff, like it was hospital food or fourth grade cafeteria. And all of my anxiety about scarcity just kind of vanished. And when the demonstration was over, I got up, I talked to some of the people from my class, I got in line, but in the back of the line. And, you know, I had a little bit of food, thanked my teacher, I went home. And that night, I made a salad for dinner, and I'm sitting there eating it, and every bite is like a blessing. And I realize I'm having a first snowball moment, that I've come full circle to the back seat of the car, and my teenage kids walk in with a bag of miniature Kit Kats, which is corporate America's current answer to crack. And they're chomping away, and I'm eating my salad and just really trying to hang on to the back seat. But when I talk to my son, it's in the voice of the front seat. Save me too. God damn it, save me too. You know, I had done it. I had really done it. I had gone full circle. The problem was nobody told me how to stop.